And bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the courtesy views of our guest. And today our guest is going to be Doreen Hannes. And Doreen, I don't think you're there, are you? Not yet. Well, anyway, we're going to be talking about this whole idea of animal identification. The government wants to keep track of every animal in this country, and everyone that would certainly be entering into the food chain. You've seen a lot of publicity recently about spinach. Day after day, we hear about the spinach conspiracy, and then it was the green onion conspiracy and Taco Bell. And we have to understand that they are manipulating our minds. They're focusing our attention on the danger to the food supply. And, of course, the government's there to protect us. Ladies and gentlemen, they're poisoning us with fluoridated water. They're poisoning us with mercury in our vaccines and our fillings. They're poisoning us with aspartame. But they're concerned because three people died because of E. coli. And people die of E. coli all the time, usually if they have an altered immune system. And it's a shame that anybody gets sick at home. But when you understand the enormity of what they've done, they've killed almost 100 million people from malaria by banning DDT, and we're worried about the three people who died of E. coli, understand that our minds are molded, our tastes are suggested, our ideas are formed largely by men we have never heard of. And when you see the government beginning to focus our attention on the danger of food safety, day after day, week after week, month after month, you know that this is all part of a plan to control the food and to use government tracking of food and ultimately of people. And as you know, under Project Echelon, they've been monitoring all of your telephone calls long before 911. 911, they just wanted to use that as a justification for the illegal acts they were in. And if you doubt what I'm saying, you go up on the Internet and type in Project Echelon, or just Echelon, E-S-C-H-A-L-O-N, and you'll find out that this is a NSA program. Why, which they've been monitoring our phone calls. Well, they don't monitor them, because that would be illegal. They get the British to monitor them for them, and then, of course, the British operate here using our equipment, but they're British citizens, they're not American citizens, because it's against the law for American citizens to monitor your phone calls. It's done with the computers. They read your faxes, they read your emails. They've been doing it for years, collecting dossiers on every American citizen. And understand, now they want to begin keeping track on where the animals are, every animal that's on a farm. They want to know where they are. They want to know where the food is, supply that you use, and control the food. You control the people. Doreen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you very much for being with us today. Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and how you happen to get involved in this issue?
Okay, I'm having kind of a hard time hearing you.
Well, maybe we can get our producer. You go ahead and start talking, and I will ask him to see what he can do.
Okay, thank you. Well, the way that I learned about the system was I went to a meeting at Ava Stockyards here in Missouri, and it was about a new cattle identification program that was going to be required as of January of this year. Dr. Taylor Woods of the Missouri Department of Agriculture was giving a talk on this, and he said that we would be required to electronically identify our cattle in order to sell them at the sale barns here in the state. And people were very unhappy about it. And one of the things that occurred was I asked a couple of questions, and then I made a statement. The statement I made was, it sounds like you just want to have complete control of the food supply. And his reply to me was, we already do. That was pretty frightening.
All right, fine. Well, you hang on there. We're going to be back here in just a moment. We're going to have to take a break, and I think they're going to try to get a better phone line for you so you can hear me better and I can hear you. But anyway, our guest is Doreen Hannes, and we're going to be talking about one of the most incredible programs that goes into effect the first of next year. And I bet you haven't heard of it.
Statistics are heart-wrenching. According to the CWC, of the 43 million people who have served in the major wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Gulf War, 3 million never made it home alive. Most likely, each one of us can say we either knew someone who served or know a brave soul who is currently serving our country. Now there is a unique way to pay tribute to the courageous men and women who spend their lives protecting our freedom and to those who have lost their lives doing so. Davis Products is offering high-quality, solid-cast aluminum memorial markers for your American flag. Each memorial marker is specifically designed to represent one of 15 wars. All markers include a 3/8 inch pointed and threaded aluminum rod, painted and highlighted for an appearance that is unforgettable. What better way to pay homage to our enlisted loved ones? Davis Products memorial markers are only $9 a piece and can be ordered by calling 814-827-4946. That's 814-827-4946. Or visit davis-products.com. That's davis-products.com.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. We also do credit restoration. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Doreen Hannes, and we're talking about this whole idea of beginning to identify every animal. And if you're a small farmer, this is going to be a nightmare. Of course, if you're a corporate farmer and you've got, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars behind you, well, you're going to get richer because you're going to destroy the opposition. You're going to destroy the little guy, which isn't that how the game is played? Well, Doreen, you go ahead and pick the story up. You said you went in and you heard about this program and picked the story up from there.
Okay, so Taylor Woods said that they already had full control of the food supply, and then in December of last year, our feed store had a sign on the counter saying they now needed your name, address, and phone number in order to sell you animal feed. That came from the Bioterrorism Act of 2002, they claimed, which is a trace forward, trace back on all feed and food stuffs.
And, of course, Osama bin Laden lives in terror of the fact that we're going to, the federal government's going to know where all of our food is located here. I mean, Osama bin Laden, certainly, will defeat Osama bin Laden by having ever more control over the lives of the American people by our own government.
Right.
Do you know a better way to destroy this nation than to do exactly what, our Constitution forbids? In the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's hiding in a cave in Pakistan? Well, go ahead and pick the story up.
Well, actually, on the animal identification part of it, the United States Department of Agriculture began to be really heavily involved in a national animal identification system in 1999 with the National Food Animal Identification Program. And then in 2002, They started the USAIP, which was the United States Animal Identification Plan, and now that has morphed into the NAIS. And the NAIS essentially has three major components. The first component is premises registration, and that a premises is defined as any place that has animals, holds animals, or transports animals. For instance, like a veterinary office would be a premises. Somebody that has three chickens would have a premises. Somebody that, you know, drives a stock trailer, that would be a premises. And that would be registered with a direct link to the USDA, and that's a seven-digit number. And that's the key to their entire thing, is the premises registration.
Well, now, wait a minute. Well, did you say kitchens?
No.
No, I'm sorry. No. You mentioned certainly that, but what were those three things again?
Veterinary offices,
right.
Farms, people that have a
right.
horse or three chickens.
Okay.
You know, also then, of course, your large corporate ag places. Sale barns would have to be registered. Any place that holds, manages, or houses any of these animals, which are 29 species covered under the NAIS.
Well, now, why are they worried about horses? I mean, no, most horses are not used in the food chain.
Because the premise for the whole thing is disease control, and horses do get diseases.
I see. And is the government then going to control the diseases by knowing where our horses are?
That's their fantasy, yes.
I see.
Yes. It's interesting to speak with these people because they actually believe that rather than being able to mitigate disease, that they can control it. They're methodology for control is actually eradication. If you kill everything, of course, it's not going to be capable of spreading disease any longer. But that's kind of digressing a little bit. I wanted to just hit the three major components. The first one is the premises registration, then the animal identification, which is a 15-digit number for a single animal. That would be one who, like say you had two horses and they were different ages, you'd have to have one of those for each of those horses. And then, of course, animal tracking, which is the real tricky part, wherein if your animal ever leaves your property, it has to be reported to an animal tracking data system, okay? And that, of course, would have to have a fee. Now, that aspect they want to keep private. This is a typical fascist program in that it's a private industry-government partnership. Okay.
Now, who will be then running all of this identification? Who will control the information?
They will have, basically, it's an entire series of bureaucracies that will develop because of this. So there is the USDA, who will house and hold all of the premises registration, okay? And state departments of agriculture will then have the premises registrations, and they may also have the tracking components. States can run their own tracking systems within their own states.
Well, now, will this be then run at the state level or the federal level? Who's going to be tracking the animals? The state?
Yes, but the feds must be able to have access to that at any time.
Where's the money going to come from? Because this is going to be an expensive proposition. The states are, you know, are certainly hard-pressed for money. Is the federal government going to fund this?
The federal government has been funding implementation of this system since 2004. However, the states are going to have to fund it themselves, and the burden of the cost of the program is going to be on the producer. Okay?
What happens if the states don't want to fund this thing? What happens if the states don't want to do it?
Well, there's this cooperative agreement that they have done with the state departments of agriculture, have done cooperative agreements with the USDA, wherein money has exchanged hands, so they're essentially under contract for the term of that cooperative agreement to follow through with the desires of the USDA on this program.
Well, let's imagine you have 100 chickens. You know, you've got a small egg farm. Will each one of those chickens have to be chipped in one way or another?
According to the draft standards program, which was released in May of 2005, yes, they would if they are of different ages.
All right. Well, let's imagine they are of different ages. Then certainly where would you get the money to do it? How much is it going to cost you to chip a chicken?
Well, I did a lot of research on that, and now England has kind of a similar system, although it covers less species, and the lowest cost was $37.86 per animal.
Per animal?
Per animal, yes, sir.
Per animal. So if you've got a chicken that's probably worth about $4, it's going to cost you $37 to get it chipped. That doesn't sound like a very, very good investment.
Yeah, provided that they don't go through a production chain together. Now, they have this other thing, which is called group identification number, and that's a 13-digit number. Typically, say somebody's going to raise up a bunch of chickens to butcher. They'll, you know, have them all hatched out, and then they'll brood them up together. Now, those could go under just one identification number, okay? But they couldn't be raised up with the hen and be under one identification number. They would have to have their each individual ID number according to the definitions of the USDA's program. You understand the difference?
No, I really don't. Okay. Explain that one more time.
Okay. The say you hatched out a bunch of chicks in an incubator and then you raised them up just together where they didn't have contact with any other animals outside of their own age group. Then you could use one identification number for that batch of chicks, okay? However, if you let a hen hatch out her own chicks, each of them would have to have an identification number themselves because they would be with an animal of a different age. Yeah, it's kind of nutty.
All right, well, now, how is this thing going to possibly work? I mean, we have a federal government that can't even keep track of the immigrants coming into this country. 11 million immigrants have come in, and they've been tracking them carefully, and only about 4 million of them have left, and they finally said, we can't track all the people who've come into this country legally, and so we're just going to give up the program. How can we possibly, if we can't track, you know, a real live adult people, how can we hope to, you know, track all the little chicks in America?
Well, I think that's the entire point of the program, in all sincerity. It's unworkable. It won't work. The design of the program, the outcome that is desired is complete consolidation of the food supply. Because in frustration, within 5 years, you're going to have everybody out of, you know, small-scale agriculture.
Well, let's imagine I have 10 geese and I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them for eating, you know, let them die, or I eat them to snails, or eventually I'm going to eat them myself. Now, do I have to have them chipped, and do I have to report them to the government?
If they're of different ages, yes.
And what about the food? Now, do I have to get a special permit to be able to buy food, or will I have to get that down the line?
Well, they don't have that in this program. It doesn't say that you will be required, but they do have references to, you know, trying to get feed stores to help push the premises registration. And feed stores in a rural area, you know, everybody knows who everybody is anyway. So they'll just write, okay, they'll write your last name on the bill and they'll know where you are and what it is you have as far as animals. And they can even project the amounts of animals that you have by how much feed you buy. You know? So the feed stores are kind of being roped into it via the Bioterrorism Act, which is
in other words, this is all being justified in the name of defeating the wicked Osama bin Laden.
In the fear of some bioterroristic act, yes. Yes. But they've been working on this since 94, very, very strongly.
But, of course, we didn't have the threat of Osama bin Laden. Do you think it's possible they're using the fear of Osama bin Laden to justify a program that they wanted to get in all along?
Yes, it's absolutely, that's definitely the issue.
What is this going to do to the cost of our food? Is this going to dramatically increase the cost of food produced in the United States? And what about the food that's produced in other countries? Are they going to have to do the same thing? Or will this raise the price of domestic production and force us to buy foreign goods? And when we get back, I'm going to ask Doreen to address that issue. And ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, they wanted to get this in long before 9/11 and the 9/11 attack. They're simply using using the 9/11 attack to get through draconian legislation, whether it be the Patriot Act, the Office of Homeland Security Act, the Model State Emergency Health Power Act, the Military Commission Act, the John Warner Act, or the Animal ID Act. We'll be right back. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Ted Anderson from Midas. December 19, 2006, gold, 61620. Ounce gold coins are at 63668, 32089 for half, 16045 for quarter ounce. That's 63668, 32089, and 16045. 1971, Nixon closes the gold window. Fiat currency, 1920s, the German mark explodes from 75 to 23 trillion. 1995, gold doubles against the Mexican peso. 1997, gold increases 82% over the Indonesian rupee. 1998, gold jumps two-thirds over the Russian ruble. 2002, the Argentine peso loses a fifth of its value to gold. 2006, the last superpower, the USA's mighty dollar, loses over half to gold and other raw goods. Could government let this happen? Without immediate backing, how much will it lose? Midas has Nick Bereshef's report covering the loss of purchasing power, fat tail events, bull market economic vulnerabilities, and gold-oil relationship. You've lost half of your purchasing power. Call 800-686-2237 before the rest disappears. That's 800-686-2237.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and makes a great stocking stuffer. Honest, WristEase provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, W-R-I-S-T-E-A-S-E, WristEase.com. Once again, WristEase.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest today is Doreen Hannes, and we're talking about this program for animal identification, the National Animal Identification System, the NAIS system, which goes into effect in 2008. Doreen, do you think most farmers or people who are involved with livestock are aware of what's going on, veterinarians and all?
The veterinarians are aware because they're going to be the enforcers for the program. And let me explain again, this is This is not a law. There have been 5 pieces of legislation introduced regarding animal identification system. However, this is coming to us through the agency law process, okay? Through the rulemaking process, like the IRS, you know, that type of thing. So the USDA has their own rules and regulations.
And so basically it's imposed on us by the bureaucracy, not by our elected representatives, but under the Office of Homeland Security, of course.
Correct.
In the name of combating Osama bin Laden, we've got to give up our freedom. And, of course, one of those things is we've got to begin to identify all the animals in this country, because, after all, Osama might infect some of them and then get them into the food chain, and we might have, instead of the spinach conspiracy and the green onion conspiracy and, of course, the strawberry conspiracy, why, we might have a disease in our animals. I suppose that's the basic idea, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
Well, now, basically, you know, what impact is that going to have, say, on cattle farmers? And how are they going to go about doing this? And do they have to report every time they move their cattle from one field to another? Or from, certainly from, if they sell the cattle or they buy cattle, does all this have to be reported to the government?
If they buy or sell, absolutely. If the animal changes ownership, even on the same piece of property, yes. If they move it from, like, say I have a field here and then I have a field across the road, if that is the same premise ID number, then no, I don't have to report it. But if I have a field here and then 5 miles away I have another one and I load them up and move them to it, then yes, I would have to report it.
And then what do? You just send in a piece of paper,
No, you have to do it electronically.
I see. What happens if you don't have a computer?
Well, guess what? Then you'll be out of business sooner. I imagine they'll probably provide some kind of a phone support system for those who don't have a computer, wherein they'd have to pay a fee to make their report. Okay, but they have 14 events that they would like to have reported.
All right, what are they?
Well, let me see. The one is buying an animal or selling an animal, the sighting of an animal, moving an animal. This is all by memory. let's see. Like if an animal has given birth, what kind of calf they had or what have you, and let's see. Also, if an animal is sick, if the tag is lost, misplaced, or stolen, if the tag just doesn't work, then that's also a reported event. So there's a number of things.
Well, by not working, you mean you have to have some sort of reader and make sure the RFID, a chip in that, works?
Yes. Yes, it will have to be verified. Now, that's a whole other aspect, is that this is a very unreliable form of technology for the read rates for cattle. Now, they're going after cattle primarily because that is the largest monetary market in agriculture that they don't already have completely controlled.
Okay? Now, basically what they're going to do then is put the RFID chip on the ear, pierce the ear and rivet it on the ear?
Yes. And then they have these chutes that they will run cattle through at auction barns that have these large readers, and they're supposed to read the cattle as they go through and then automatically enter that into a laptop computer.
Well, are they going to use those same ugly chips on all the beautiful horses?
No, horses are going to have an implanted microchip on the left side of the neck between the fourth and fifth vertebrae.
All right, and then, of course, the veterinarian, he'll get, $30 or $40 for putting that in?
Well, yeah, and they say that, you know, you can put them in yourself, but you have to report when that is done as well, okay? You have to report that it's done, upload that information to whatever data tracking system you're using, and you have to keep it updated. So, like, if you were to sell a horse and fail to report that sale, it could be problematic. You could get fined for it.
In other words, you could become a criminal because you didn't report that you sold the horse?
Yes.
And it would it be a state crime or a federal crime?
As it stands now, it's looking like it would be a state crime.
All right, fine. Well, that's not as severe penalties as the federal crimes. But ladies and gentlemen, Remember, this is what happens when you have too many bureaucrats with nothing to do.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Now I have my own successful online business. It's already brought in over $175,000 for me.
I grossed over $321,000 and I was able to quit my 9-to-5.
You've heard all the buzz. Everyday people are putting the internet to work, making serious money from the comfort of their own homes with online auctions. So much money, so easily, they're actually quitting their jobs. And so can you, with a free CD from Internet Speedway. Yours absolutely free, just for calling. This free CD shows how easy it is to generate real wealth quickly, with online auctions at sites like the internet's largest marketplace, eBay. And you never have to see, store, or even pay for the products you're selling.
I did over $40,000 in sales last month, and I have my own business now. It's like a dream come true.
The strategies are simple. The money is real and the CD is free. Call 1-800-889-2994 now to get your free CD. Call 1-800-889-2994. 1-800-889-2994.
Dad, can we stop? We need to go to the bathroom.
What? Again? We just stopped 2 hours ago.
Honey, let's stop. Because I gave the kids their Sport Berkey water bottles.
Why did you do that?
Because they can't drink and talk at the same time. And that way we don't have to listen to them singing,
"Are we there yet? Are we there yet?"
for the entire trip.
I didn't think about that. Great idea.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment for the kids. Bottled water costs around 75 cents a bottle. And using our Berkey Sport bottles, it costs us less than 2.5 cents per refill.
Honey, you're terrific.
Oh, honey, so are you. You're the one that bought the family our Sport Berkey water bottles. Now, can we stop? I need to go, too.
Get your Berkey Sport purification bottle for only $39 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, our guest is Doreen Hannes. If you're out there in the listening audience, Hannes, isn't it?
Hannes, actually.
Hannes. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Doreen, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. Doreen, would you like to get your web page out or how people can get in touch with you or get information from you on this subject?
Well, sure. Actually, I don't have my very own website, but the one that I recommend the most for the best access to documents is nonais.org. That's nonais.org. And my email address is animalwaitress, all small letters, animalwaitress@yahoo.com. And I've written several papers kind of explaining this and the origins of it, give you a little bit more of a thorough understanding of what the program entails.
Where do you see this thing ending up and going?
Well, I think we could slow it down, but I believe that my personal belief is that this is really part of the end time games. Okay. So I think we can slow it down, and I think we have an absolute duty to stand and to point out evil and to not allow it to run unimpeded.
Do you think that they really want to bring the food supply totally under control so that they can, by controlling food, they can control the population?
Yes. Yes, I do. Because there's no other conclusion that you can come to after you've begun to dig around through all of the international organizations, like the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, the OIE, which is the World Animal Health Organization, through Codex Alimentarius, and then through the USDA's own stuff. There is no other conclusion that can be drawn other than that they want to control all of the food and control the people. Because all of this is about monitoring and surveilling everything. And the identification aspects of this, like the RFID chips, they're going to be in the Real ID in May of 2008. That will allow you to be scanned virtually anywhere in public. And the same thing with this. This technology is simply a means to really know where everything and everyone is at all times.
And that, of course, is why they've had for many years in every cell phone a little switch there. And when you don't know that they're actually have turned that on, they can listen to everything you say. Your cell phone doesn't have to be on. You don't have to be talking to anybody. The microphone can now be used to listen to you. And that has been put there intentionally, without your knowledge. And it's only within this last couple of weeks we learned that every cell phone is a means by which they can listen to your conversations without your knowledge. You're not talking on the cell phone. You just have it in the room. You have it on the table next to you. You have it in your pocket. They can listen to what you're saying. And some computers have exactly the same thing. Do you think that this was planned, to defeat Osama bin Laden? Of course not. It was planned so they can monitor you, because that's what it's really all about. And no man will buy or sell, lest he wear the mark of the beast or be known by the number of his name. Our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. Remember, is certainly contamination of animal products, meat products, a big factor? We've had only to my knowledge, maybe at the most, three cases of mad cow disease in the entire United States. And suddenly, we're going to introduce this massive draconian program, which is really, it's going to make it awfully difficult on the farmers, isn't it?
Yes. The entire premise is just faulty. If you've had a freshman-level biology, you know that you cannot control bacteria and viruses. You can only mitigate the situation. You can only try to make it less dangerous by, practicing good animal husbandry. You don't go and buy a sale barn calf and then throw them out with your herd of 100 cows, You quarantine them and make sure they're okay before you do such a thing. But this program has a couple of very interesting points. One of those is on the identification devices, the prefix will be 840. That is the United States country code. It comes through the UN as well, but it comes out of a ISO standard, which is the International Standards Organization. The 840 country code is only used in financial instruments. They're turning animals into bearable securities. In other words, turning an animal into a dollar bill.
Well, now, will this be a worldwide program, not just here in the United States?
Yes, they want it to be worldwide.
Okay, fine. Well, we've got Bob calling from Tennessee. Hi, Bob. How are you doing? Bob from Tennessee, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Doreen is pretty knowledgeable there. And I was curious what part of Missouri she's located in. I, myself, used to live around West Plains. That's south central Missouri.
Yes.
And I had some neighbor cattle farmers, and when I heard about this about a year ago, I talked to them, and they didn't know nothing about it, but they know about it now.
Okay.
But, another thing is, right now I'm living in Tennessee in a rural area, and my personal physician, I had a yearly physical not too long ago, and I was talking to him about this NAIS, and there's a U.S. Department of Agriculture Center nearby. And anyhow, this physician of mine claimed that the one of the people at the USDA told him that they have a human code for this system. So my thoughts are that they're setting this whole system up with the, you know, saying it's for animals when ultimately it's going to be for humans.
Well, I think it'll be for everything. Everything will have a number. Anyway, thanks very much for calling, Bob, and we'll just have to wait and see how it unfolds. But you know very well that they want every person eventually chipped, so we will neither buy nor sell unless we have, you know, one of these RFID numbers. So, but thanks so very much for calling.
I'm near West Plains, Bob. Between Kabul and Mountain Grove.
Okay, our telephone number again is 800-259-5791. That's 800-259-5791. If you have a question for Doreen. Now, is there any opposition among the farmers, or do the farmers actually realize the implications of this and all the time and effort it's going to take on their part? You know, to let the government know every time they move a horse from one area to another, they want to take it out to a horse show, or maybe they're going to run it, or maybe a neighbor's going to ride it. And what happens if you just let you go riding on the riding trails, you know, on somebody else's property? Is that a reportable situation too?
Well, according to the standards program, yes, that would be reportable. Now, they've issued several documents. The most recent one that they issued is called a user guide, and they say it replaces all the other documents, but they didn't follow procedure, so it hasn't been entered into the Federal Register, and the other documents have not been withdrawn from the Federal Register. So the way that it reads in a legal sense, those documents are still the working documents, okay? And that means that all of the stuff in the draft strategic plan, which is every movement reported, sightings reported, all of those things are still in effect. But they're having a bad PR problem, and they're sending out a lot of propaganda, trying to, like, double-deal people, okay? Say, no, we really don't mean that, but then that's what they have in the cooperative agreements with the states, okay? So, you know, they're just like, it's called gerrymandering. They're just pushing the political aspects of this off onto the states and yet telling the states they have to do this program if they're going to receive federal funding.
Now, is there any opposition in Congress? I mean, could Congress just put an end to this foolishness if they wanted to? And is there anybody in Congress who has the courage to stand up?
I think there are a few men who have the courage to stand up, but getting them actually educated on the system is a difficult thing, because the USDA tells them one thing, but then when you go through the documents, it tells them another, and the people in Congress don't even have time to read the bills that they're voting on. So getting them to read 5 pages to show that, you know, this is what they really mean, this is what they say, is a difficult proposition. And there is a lot of opposition amongst farmers, and a fair amount of opposition amongst organic consumers, but most people just don't know anything about this program. They just, it's a media blackout, you know, as far as mainstream media goes. And we are having an effect, being fairly disorganized bunch of people just trying to spread information and contact our state and, you know, federal representatives and spread the information via letters to the editor and having public meetings where we have informational meetings and, you know, just letting people in our areas know about what they have planned for us.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. And, of course, I think the important thing to realize is that these people on the other side have full time. They've got plus jobs, lots of money, to plot against how they're going to enslave us. And those of us who want to be free, fine, you know, we've got to do it on our own time without any funding, and we're sure not going to get much help from the controlled media. Well, let's go to Rich, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how's it going?
Doing fine. What part of Texas are you in?
East Texas, and I live in a fairly big county, and I talked to the last hog farmer last weekend in the whole county, and he actually had to give up his hog farm too, because there was a federal inspector for hogs, and the only guy he had under his jurisdiction was this guy, and he told this guy's wife that once a month, he'd find something until they were out of business. And this guy said that they kept their hogs on wood. Their hogs never, the feet, hooves never hit the ground. So it seems to me what they're doing is they're the same old deal, you know, the huge guys, the huge fish are eating up, using the government to eat up all the small fish, so to speak. And that way, whenever they pull down their martial law, there won't be any other food. I mean, there won't be any small farmers or small ranchers to go to. It'll just be, you know, whoever, whatever, it's just going to be some huge places, because, I mean, they're using the government to take out the small guy in the competition, but over that, I think it's going to be this, you know, you control the population, you control food, you control the population, like Henry Kissinger said. It's going to be, you're not going to be able to get food from anywhere except their food line.
Well, you know, Rich, isn't it amazing, here in America, we have never heard of the Great Hunger in China, where between 1958 and 1962, they intensely starved to death between 41 and 43 million people. Comes from a book written by Stephen Mosher for the Population Research Foundation. You know, his book, A Woman, A Mother's Ordeal, and we'll be glad to supply the page for anybody who'd like to see it. Those are the official Chinese statistics, totally blacked out in America, never mentioned. Gee, I wonder why Rush Limbaugh never tells us. Hey, thanks so much, Richard. Rich, anything else you want to say?
Well, but that was a great social experiment, according to David Rockefeller in his speech in 1972, wasn't it?
It was one of the most important and successful in history.
There
God
you
bless.
Go. That's
Thanks so much. We've got Mike calling. Hi, Mike, are you there? Mike is...
Yeah,
Mike?
I'm here, Stan.
Okay, go ahead. Is this Mike from Arizona?
Yes, it is.
Okay, go ahead.
Doreen, are we still in the comment period for these rules?
No, the comment period actually ended. However, the NAIS is being considered for the 07 Farm Bill, and you can make a comment to that now. And you'd have to go to APHIS to find that through the USDA website, APHIS, and try to find that. Or if you would send me an email, I can send you a direct link to make a comment on the NAIS to Congress.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Again, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. What they really want to do is control the food, you control the people. What they want to do is control the water, you control the people. What they want to do is control the children, you control the next generation. These people know exactly what they're doing. They're very wealthy, they're very powerful. And the one thing, though, they fear is there are a lot more of us than there are of them, and that the American people will wake up. And maybe there might be even enough people who really care about freedom to save this country. Well, Doreen, what would you suggest that our people do? What the listeners, they hear your story. So, you know, we know there's a problem. We agree with you. We get the information from NAIS.org. That's NONAIS for No, a National Animal Identification System.org. What are we going to do?
What I suggest that people do is really start at their state level, get a hold of their representatives and their state senators, and get them educated about this program. First, you have to get a little educated and go through the documents. I guess the total is probably about 150 pages. Take all of the USDA documents. The most important one is the draft strategic plan and then the implementation plan. So if you read those two documents, you'll know more than any of your legislators know about it, and they're going to push this through on a state-by-state level. So you've got to get a hold of your state representative and get it stuck. Once you've become fairly educated, have informational meetings. Just, you know, advertise, have a little informational meeting. There's material available. You don't have to be some kind of a great whiz at public speaking or anything. Just talk about the program. People will show up and get educated, and then they'll start telling other people. I mean, we've done firing. We've had several meetings at sale barns at different, like, you know, county hall places. It doesn't take more than, say, $50 to put together a meeting where you can get 300 people who will get on fire about this program if they become educated on it, and you can make a difference.
And I think what we have to understand is that people get concerned when it's their ox that's gored. And this is going to gore everybody's ox, whether it'll be the farmers who are going to have to put up with this foolishness, or the realization that they want to control the food supply in the United States. This has nothing to do with tainted spinach or tainted green onions or the fear of mad cow disease or hoof and mouth disease. These are non-entities. These are not something they're really concerned about. What they're really concerned about is controlling you out there in the audience. Use this as an opportunity. Remember, it may sound bad, but there's a silver lining in every cloud. And so get in behind Doreen and get in touch with her. If you need more information, why go to noNAIS.org, noNAIS.org. Doreen, God bless you. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. If we need your help, we need you to get the help, get the information out.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29, plus shipping, by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438, or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, let me first of all mention Then as of the 15th of January, we're going to be changing our frequencies again on our shortwave. Now we're going to be in the afternoon program, which is this one, 9.480. That's 9.480 megahertz. And in the evening program, which of course goes from 8 to 10 Pacific time and 11 to 1 on the East Coast, 5.755. 9.480. 5.755. Make a notation. We'll be here until the 15th of January, and then we'll be switching over at that point. And we encourage you to get more people listening, and hopefully we'll get a good response on these new frequencies. Now, this is the time when we talk about what's going on. You have to understand there is a planned program to have a dictatorship in America. If you don't believe that, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, the video, the DVD or the book. And you can get the Brotherhood of Darkness special with either the video or the DVD, the book, and, of course, the audio tape. It's all the same story. There really are secret societies. They intend to destroy America, and we have traitors in our government who are intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation and merging us into a world government, and nobody wants to call it treason. For after all, if it's successful, none dare call it treason. Well, of course, you then, of course, need to get our material on the secret government. We have a four-tape set, including an interview with Bill Clinton's mentor, Professor Carol Quigley, and then, of course, my talk, certainly on these various organizations, on my interview with Norman Dodd. That's a secret government four-tape set. The classic, you won't get it anywhere else place, the secret government four-tape set. And then, of course, we have the secret society's four-tape set. You can get the secret government special, and we recommend that. And, of course, we have a number of specials on population control and the pagan agenda. Just get go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and look at the various items that we do carry. To understand what happened on 9-1-1, we put together five DVDs. We have 9-1-1, Press for the Truth, the story of the Jersey girls, the four women who lost their husbands. And then we have 9-1-1, Mysteries. We have In Plain Sight, Terror Storm, and certainly we have the DVD, The Day That Changed America Forever. You can get a DVD or VHS. We recommend all of them. You get all five of them for $89.95. Or if you have one of them, you'd like to substitute a four-tape set, we'll be glad to do that for you. As far as the 9-1-1 Press for the Truth, the story of the Jersey girls, if you want to buy two of those, we'll give you one free. We just want to get you that out. It's an excellent DVD. You need to understand that they knew the attack was coming. They brought Building 7 down. They had explosives placed in it. It is a controlled demolition, and all you need to do is watch the building come down, see the roof cave in first, and then the base of the building is destroyed. Typical controlled demolition. Why? Because they wanted to get us into war. They needed a pretext for war. And all those people died. 1,100 of the bodies have never been found. Did you know that? 1,100? Do you think they were crushed when the building came down or vaporized when the building exploded, the Twin Towers? You need to get the information. You'll certainly want to get my newsletters. They're available on my website at RadioLiberty.com. My August, September, and October newsletters are posted. November will soon be posted, and we're almost done with the December letter when we tell you what really happened that morning and how, of course, we hope you'll be able to convince others that we've been lied to, and that there really are wicked and evil people in control of our government. And the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq and all the people who died are totally unnecessary. And, of course, what happened on 9-1-1 was just like the Gulf of Tonkin incident, just like Pearl Harbor, just like the sinking of the Maine, like the sinking of the Lusitania. Ladies and gentlemen, we're up against organized evil. We need your help. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty.
Now. now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today our special guest is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour. And, of course, I'm going to be appearing on her program early tomorrow morning. We're going to be having a discussion of masonry. And Joyce was good enough to come on with us today to talk about what's happening to our servicemen and women who are going over to Iraq, and, of course, the incidents of suicide among them. Joyce, thank you so very much for being with us again.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, and I really thank you for coming on tomorrow morning and appearing with Paul Jeffers to discuss secret societies. I am really thrilled that we're going to finally have this.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I just finished reading the book this morning, and so I know what his feelings are. I think it's a fascinating book, a lot of good information. But, of course, we won't talk too much about it. That's for tomorrow morning. Let's talk today, this afternoon, about what's happening to our servicemen. We know many of them are coming back, and we know that within 3 months of the time they get back, about a third of them have come down with an illness. They call it post-traumatic stress or whatever it may be. I personally believe it's similar to the Gulf War syndrome, but what about suicide among these people? What are we doing to their heart and to their mind and to their souls?
Well, it seems right now that we have a higher level of suicides than ever in the military. Now, this is not among the people who have retired from the military, who are no longer serving. It is among the people who are still active duty. Now, that is what is so surprising, is they are committing suicide on active duty status. Now, to me, this ought to be something that the Department of Defense and the military investigating agencies should be taking a very, very strong look at and saying, wait a minute, what is going on here? While they're in service, committing suicide. And I think a lot of it has to do with, number one, the exposures they've had in Iraq. I think it has to do also with the experience of what they were told to do in Iraq, and now they are sorry, now they are feeling regret over having done it. And I think it's also, there is probably certainly a certain level of legitimate PTSD if that occurs. But I want to address that issue, Dr. Stan, because I don't know if we have real PTSD separate and apart from the exposures and the experiments that have been done on our military. So let's say you were to take away the vaccines and the vaccine-induced problems that these people have. You take away the experiments that have been done, especially in the Navy, which are known for doing experiments on our military. You take away the depleted uranium exposure, the chemical, biological exposure, etc., the pesticide exposure. I don't know that there is any way that you can isolate whether or not PTSD occurs. Now, granted, I know that there are people that come back from a war and they've been really shaken and it's hard to get back to real living. But the problem is that we have no way of knowing now because they've lumped all these servicemen into one category and called it PTSD. So what we're seeing, and by the way, there is a the American Psychological Association defines PTSD in the DSM-4. And if you want to go and get some reference material, check out psych.org. That's PSYCH.org. Because the military was charged by Congress with the job of screening our military prior to going to war and upon returning from war. Because that was their whole excuse in the first Gulf War was, well, we never checked these people for depression before they left, so how do we know they weren't depressed before they came in the military, before they went to the war? As if that makes any difference, because depression is depression, it should be treated, or illness is illness and it should be treated.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Joyce Riley of the Power Hour. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Joyce Riley, who is the host of the Power Hour. And Joyce is talking about the incidents of, and rather frightening incidents of suicide among our active duty personnel at the present time. Of course, Joyce was in the military. She was a captain, a flight nurse, and has a lot of military experience. And actually, of course, was a victim of the Gulf War illness after the first Gulf War, so she knows of what she speaks. Under any circumstances, apparently, there's a great deal of problems with our people when they come back from Iraq. About a third of them within 3 months are ill. Now, these are people, not those casualties who have lost arms or legs or had severe head injuries, will never be right, but these are people who ostensibly came back healthy, and suddenly they become, extremely emotionally distraught, and many of them complain of diffuse illnesses. And the question is, what is this? Joyce suggests that they experiment on our personnel. We know that they do. We carry a book called Vaccine A, which goes into, of course, the fact that all the scientific studies show that they experimented, and the government, just as they did with Agent Orange, is lying about it and say, oh, we would never experiment on our military personnel. They've been experimenting on them for the last 50 years in one way or another. They're simply human guinea pigs who have no rights once they sign on. But pick up the story there, Joyce.
Well, when they return and they have this problem, then the Department of Defense says, well, we don't know if you had it when you left or not, as if that's supposed to vindicate the Department of Defense and they have no involvement in their case any longer. However, the Department of Defense, in my estimation, is doing this by design. Now, like I said, after the first Gulf War, they were charged with the job of screening these troops or doing supposed to be a physician screening of them and a mental health screening prior to their leaving and then upon returning. Neither are being done right now, which is supposed to give them the excuse to be able to say, oh, well, we just don't know what's going on, and yeah, we're guilty of not doing the testing prior to leaving, but, you can't prove that it's anything that has to do with the second Gulf War. So this is the way that they are able to sort of deflect any kind of responsibility. So what happens when they return is these troops start having bizarre problems. Now, I would say that the one problem they have more than anything is inability to sleep. Some of the drugs and the exposures that they have had keep them from having a good sleep neurologically. And as you know, if you don't go into a deep REM sleep, then you're not able to function the next day. I mean, but imagine that these people do this on a daily basis.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joyce is just saying that one of the most common complaints of our servicemen when they return is they can't sleep. And, of course, if you can't sleep, you can't really function well the next day. So this is a very, very common complaint among our servicemen who are having real problems. Pick the story up there, Joyce.
And it's not just not being able to sleep. It is the fact that they may fall asleep for 30 minutes and be awake the rest of the night in a fitful experience. Or they may fall asleep for 10-minute increments and then wake up again. But if you do this again night after night after night, the brain is not rested, the body is not rested, they become what's called hypervigilant. Now, think about when you've been really, really tired and you're driving a car and you're driving across the country and you're driving more hours than you probably should have and you haven't had much sleep, and all of a sudden things just begin to really impact you. You become very hypervigilant, which is the term that's being used, and you feel as though things are more louder than they really are or more threatening than they really are. Well, that's what happens to these troops. One of them told me, he said, if I go into a Walmart and if somebody goes in front of me, he said, I have this desire to want to kill them. Now, that's not normal. That is not a normal feeling. It is a normal feeling to say, excuse me, buddy, you know, that's kind of rude. But these guys have an overreaction. I told a story before of a troop after Gulf War I that was in, I believe it was Pensacola, Florida. He went to buy a car from a used car dealer. And he was just out on a Saturday morning like any normal guy. And I had known the man before. And he was a very, he was a ranger, and he was a very wonderful person, well-intentioned, who had been very sick subsequent to the Gulf War. Used car dealer said to him, excuse me, buddy, are you just kicking tires? Are you really serious about buying a car? Now, that's not an abnormal thing for a used car dealer to ask, is it, Dr. Stan?
Nope,
that wouldn't be an abnormal thing. Normally, you'd say, yeah, well, I'm just wanting to see what's on the lot or whatever, or yeah, I'm serious. This guy felt so threatened by that remark. Now, that's the only remark that used car dealer gave him. He did not even know this man. And he picked up a hammer, which was nearby, and he bludgeoned the guy to death. The guy is now in prison for the rest of his life over a situation that he doesn't even understand what happened. Now, see, that's not malicious intent. That's not premeditated. That is a young guy who returned from the Gulf War with documented problems, and yet now he serves a prison sentence for the rest of his life. There's so many of these guys. I hear this all the time. One guy was a young black man that called me. He wrote to me, he was in prison at the time, and he had gone into a convenience store to get some cigarettes. He was one of those guys that can't sleep, that had neurological problems, had problems with memory. He went in, got the cigarettes, thought he had paid for them, walked out, and he was arrested, and they said that, and for whatever reason, they decided to bring charges against him to make an example of him. And he served 3 years in jail, in prison, because of those cigarettes. And he said, I to this day don't even know what happened. He said, I may be guilty of taking them, but he said it was not my intention. And we've got a country full of these people right now. Now, unbeknownst to a lot of people, you may not know, the average listener to CNN is not going to know that when those troops are overseas and they develop problems with depression, and let's say they've got neurological problems or insomnia secondary to depleted uranium exposure or pesticide exposure or whatever, they are now given antidepressants on the front line. People don't realize that. They are medicating them with SSRI drugs and other drugs on the front line. They are obviously given no counseling. They are given no testing. They are not asked, hey, soldier, are you having some problems? They simply take them into they go into the clinic, they give them their drugs, and they leave. And I have been told that it is a huge number of people that are on these drugs on the front lines. And so that only adds to the problem of their instability. So you give somebody who's unstable an SSRI drug, which is already shown, and of course you know the propensity for suicide of people taking these SSRI drugs, then you've got a multiple problem. So we've got the suicide rates from those that have been in Iraq and Afghanistan are just absolutely off the charts. We know that there were 11 service members who committed suicide in Iraq between 2004 and 2005. They had shown signs of problems, but they were kept on duty despite the fact that they were showing signs of mental agony. Now, I've also been told that when you have insomnia so bad that you cannot sleep, period, you can't even say what your name is the next morning, these people are not given any kind of help. They are told, too bad, soldier, suck it up and do your job. So they are not helped in any way, shape, or form. They get even worse. And then you have bizarre crimes that are taking place that you only read about in the Air Force Times now, of people that are doing crimes against their own soldiers, killing their own soldiers. And I don't think that's their intent. I don't think that we have an army that decides to go after each other and kill each other. But we've got some 385,000 troops now that have served more than one overseas commitment. In other words, 385,000 of them have been to Iraq or Afghanistan two or three times, some of them totaling, you know, 20, 30, 40 months, which is an unbelievable amount of exposure. So at the end of the, let's say, the third tour over there, if they have a tour of 18 months and you take that times three, I mean, you've got an awful lot of time that has been spent in a battlefield that is literally full of depleted uranium or is radioactive. It settles in the brain. The exposure problems that they have are just, I don't think we can even imagine how that affects them on a daily basis. So we talked about the sleep deprivation being the first problem. Second to that is memory loss. They start having situations in which their short-term memory is just gone. They could have done something and 10 minutes later don't know that they did it. And I have also talked about the example of the young man in New Mexico when his attorney called me. It was a public defender, called me and said, I need to know what you know about memory loss in Gulf War I troops. And I said, well, I can probably tell you about the case that you're going to tell me about. I said, before you even tell me, let me describe your client to you. And I did. And she was absolutely astounded. She said, how did you know, down to almost every single symptom? And I said, because I've seen it hundreds of times before your client. In this case, this young man went out to clean his garage on Saturday morning. And now this is when I was talking to him, was later on Saturday morning, because we were doing a conference call with the attorney. And he came in from cleaning the garage, and we were on this three-way phone call with the attorney, the client, and myself to talk with him about his situation. And he said, well, I really need to hurry because I've got to go clean my garage today. And his wife came on the phone and she said, honey, you just cleaned it all this morning. You've been out there all morning long. Now, this was not some defense for his case. He really didn't even know he had cleaned the garage. Now, imagine how stupid, how incompetent, how vulnerable you feel when somebody tells you, no, that's what you did for the past 4 hours. You cleaned the garage. It's all clean. Well, in his case, he had harmed someone, had hit someone, didn't even remember that he had done it, and the attorney was trying to find a decent defense, of which, of course, none of the judges will allow into the courtroom any testimony regarding Gulf War illness, regarding anything that happened in the military. So these people are out there all over, I mean all over this country. They are in other countries. Australia is now seeing the problem with their troops. Canada is seeing the problem. So we have got a number of people that are literally like cocked guns ready to go off. And it frightens me because what happens when this man comes home from having served three tours in Afghanistan, he and his wife, or Iraq, and he and his wife have a baby, and this baby cries incessantly, and she's gone to work, and he's taking care of the baby. What happens? There have been so many deaths of children, deaths of spouses, over absolutely no reason. So my concern is that we are bringing back a group of people that are going to be committing crimes far more than we could have ever imagined, which is why you see so many of the stories of murders now, they've been in the military. And you know, it surprises me when... You know, when I start to see a story and I start to read into the story and I get a feel for it, I say to myself, oh my goodness, this is going to be a vet. And sure enough, and he proudly served in the military from blah, 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 blah. And so what we're doing is these 378,000 troops now that have served more than one tour in Iraq and Afghanistan are going to be coming back with mental disorders that are real. They are organic. They are not mental disorders because the guy just had a break and he was a bad Marine because he couldn't take the stress. Now, this is the compounded problem, Dr. Stan, which creates the scenario of the guy thinking he's going crazy, can't explain to his wife what's happening. She's frustrated with him because he keeps telling her things that he doesn't even... He says, you know, she says, did you do such and such? No. And then she finds out he did, or vice versa. They don't know what they're doing on a short-term basis. So these are the people that we're going to be left with that are going to be committing suicide in even greater levels. And what we're going to do about it, I have no idea, because the VA has pretty well purged themselves of treating them.
And, of course, the great tragedy is, you know, there actually are studies now that they've done recently up there in Vancouver where they've given mice squalene and aluminum comparable to what they've gotten in their experimental vaccines. And, of course, they find evidence of neurological damage in the mice. And, of course, the Army keeps saying, we would never use squalene. Well, that's an experimental adjuvant. And if we know that they used it in the first Gulf War, are they using it again? Are they trying to destroy the lives of our young people? You really need, of course, to look into it. You need to read a book we carry called Vaccine A, and we'll tell you more. Well, Joyce, pick the story up there.
Well, the problem doesn't stop there, because when they come back here and their wives get fed up with them not being able to handle child care or thinking that they are safe with their children, you know, and I just say to every woman out there, imagine you have the job, your husband's been sick, came back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and he's the one that is doing the child care. So you find out later that he took a nap and left the baby alone or left the children outside playing at 2 years of age. Imagine that he forgot to feed them. He forgot to change them. He doesn't know what he's doing. So what is the wife going to do? Of course, they go off to the VA hospital. The VA hospital then gives them SSRI drugs, Ambien. They give them all kinds of, not just psychotropic drugs, but antidepressants. Then they give them they give drugs for the neurological system, hopefully, like Depakote and drugs that they think are going to improve their neurological system, along with ecstasy. That's being used now in the VA systems, and for anybody that doesn't believe that, just do a Google search and put in ecstasy, the drug, put in ecstasy and VA hospitals, and you'll see the studies that's being done on using an illegal street drug on our troops. So the wife says, all right, that does it. I've had it. My children are not safe with you. The VA's put them on drugs, who makes them only worse. Now they do sleep, but not a good sleep. They sleep a bizarre sleep that has hallucinations and complications with that. So the wife finally says, I don't want to do this, but I've got to divorce my husband. I love him, but I can't put my children in this situation. So the wife leaves, or the husband leaves, or whatever. The husband begins to self-medicate. He is in such pain. And I hear this over and over again, because without any kind of real pain medication for the physical pain they might be experiencing, or any elimination of the problem that is causing emotional pain that is so strong, these people now begin to self-medicate with beer, with wine, with booze, with marijuana, with speed. And they use cocaine because it's the only way that they can stay awake, because they're so tired from not having a good night's sleep that they end up using speed, which, as you can imagine, gives them just an adrenal rush. They're exhausting their adrenals. They don't have good thyroid function, and every system in the body then cascades toward this amazingly compromised individual. Well, what happens to this veteran who the wife says, I can't live with you, and I cannot put my children in your care? You're going to have to leave. Where can he go? He has no job. Let's say he's been lucky enough to get compensation from the Department of Defense with the VA, and let's say maybe they gave him 10% for headaches, 10% for insomnia, 10% for a left shoulder problem or whatever. So now they have 30%, and 30% disability is about going to give you, well, 10% disability I think is about $118, so it would be three times 118. So this is all the man now has to live on. So where does he go to get an apartment on $400 or $500 a month to live on? They don't. They become homeless. So right now, I know in the first Gulf War, over 90% of the people were divorced as of about the year 1997. Now, that's a huge number. Somebody needs to be asking, why would 90-some percent of the people divorced?
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Joyce is really describing the plight of the veterans of the first Gulf War, and she said over 90% of them, the veterans of the first Gulf War, are now divorced, and because she's talking about the problems that the veterans of both the first and the second Gulf War are facing, and especially with the second Gulf War, so many of them, you know, simply are not able to think effectively, and certainly, what is that, about 30% of the patients, you think, people are coming back, what percentage of those coming back?
Those are 30% documented. I think it's closer to 50% right now. I think it's closer to 50% because a lot of them are not going to the VA and getting disability claims put in. A lot of them don't even have the wherewithal to be able to do that. That's quite a procedure. I mean, it takes somebody that can really think to go through with that whole process because it's frustrating, it's time-consuming, it requires a lot of paperwork, and they just don't have the ability to do that. But what we do know is that there's somewhere between 200,000 and 400,000 homeless veterans right now. Between 200,000 and 400,000. Now, if there were, if the majority of homeless people were plumbers, we'd say, man, what kind of putty are these guys using? You know, what is it doing to their brains? If 40%, I mean, if 50% of all the homeless were used car salesmen, we'd say, you know, what is going on in the used car salesman business? Because there has to be some reason for one population group to be homeless. And with veterans, all we do is simply say, oh, well, they're veterans, and put them on the shelf. Well, about 40%, the amount of males is about 40%. It ranges between probably 40 and 90% of them are males at any given time, and usually only about 4% are females. But the problems with them going to the street, of course, is they're trying to figure out where they get their next meal. They're not getting any kind of nutrition whatsoever. They can only afford to get a hamburger at McDonald's, maybe, and so that's all they have. And so we've got probably about 50-plus percent of them abusing drugs and living on the street, begging money and putting whatever money they have toward drugs and just trying to feel good. So the question, though, is what are we going to do? Because the Department of Defense knows full well what we're talking about. This is nothing new. But because they are able to live in their pristine towers and act as though we're a veterans advocate, and they have the VFW annual meetings with the president there, everybody thinks that, oh, they take care of the veterans. So when a veteran comes from the street and says, look, I couldn't get any help. I served in Iraq. Or I served in Afghanistan, or I served in both, and three tours, and I came home, and the VA says you must be crazy, or you've got a mental disorder. What do people say? Well, hey, guy, you better get your act together. These people are incapable of getting their, quote-unquote, acts together. And so on the street now, we have dangerous veterans. And I say dangerous because they're not thinking well. We have a lot of them who have gone to, now, when they can still work and still function, where do they go? They go to places, they've told me, where there's not very many people around. In other words, they can make a living without anybody around them. And the primary choice for a lot of them was truck drivers. I can't tell you the number of truck drivers that I have met who said, I can't be around another human being. I've got to be in my truck. I've got to do my thing. I drop off my load. I go to the next place. But the problem? They can't sleep well, so they're tired. So they're taking things to stay awake while they're driving the trucks. Now, how safe is that? Then you've got people who are neurologically becoming impaired, still driving the trucks. I talked to a Special Forces troop who, at one point, we had a sign on our car that said Gulf War Veterans, and he was driving an 18-wheeler, and he signaled to us to pull off the side of the road. Now, when an 18-wheeler signals you to pull off the side of the road, you're kind of like, whoa, what is going on here? But we had a CB radio in the car, and he radioed to us, and he said, I'm a vet. He said, please pull off at the next exit. I have to talk to you. So we pulled off at the exit. He came up to us. He said, I was a Navy SEAL. He said, I'm driving this truck because I am so incredibly sick. And he said, I'm at least able to pass the CM, whatever the driver's license is for trucking. And he said, I've got my commercial driver's license, but he said, I am so incredibly sick. And he said, I saw a Gulf War veteran on your car. And he said, please, does anybody have any information to help me? And it was so heartbreaking to see this man desperate with nobody to turn to. He said, I've been to the VA, I've been to the American Legion, I've been everywhere, and no one will help me. And he said, I'm not alone. He said, because all us truckers talk about this.
And, of course, the thing is, of course, that the VA and the veterans are foreign wars, and so many of these veterans organizations are simply in the pocket of the government, and they're covering for the gross mistreatment of our veterans. We'll be back here in just a moment or two with Joyce Riley from the Power Hour. This is a very real problem. Gulf War illness is a very real illness. You'll certainly want to get Joyce's DVD, which we do carry. We'll be talking more about that and lots more this next half hour. Well, Joyce, go right ahead.
Well, there is some good news in that on November 13th of 2006, the VA did announce grants for homeless veterans. Now, the problem is there's a website that you can go to find out about grants for homeless veterans, but how many homeless veterans do you think can go to a computer and find out that there's grants for them? I mean, this is so sad to think that, you know, they've made them available, but they're obviously not going to the streets, though, and saying to these vets, hey, here's some help, let me help you. They're saying, well, you get yourself to a library and you find out about this yourself, and, you know, you can get some help. Well, the grants were to assist veterans with greater access to assistance. Now, the Veterans Affairs Chairman Jim Nicholson, who I have to tell you I have absolutely no respect for, said, only through a dedicated partnership with community and faith-based organizations can we hope to end helplessness among veterans. I mean, how unbelievably inappropriate is a statement like that? How about if Mr. Jim Nicholson was to say, only if we stop medicating these people inappropriately and experimenting upon them and exposing them to these things, can we hope to end homelessness in our troops? Which is really what he should be saying. He says, veterans answered their country's call to serve during the greatest times of need, and now some live without shelter. Some? How about close to 500,000? And yet, they're not doing anything to help them. When you go to the VA, they turn you away, and they tell you that it's basically your problem. It's a mental problem, and there's no help for you, or you are ordered to take a number of these SSRI drugs, and some of the combinations of these, Dr. Stan, are just unbelievably strong. That no one, in my estimation, and from what a lot of the physicians have told me, should ever be placed on that many SSRI drugs or that many of the antidepressant and psychotropic drugs together. So we've got a situation that is growing, getting worse, and I fear, I really fear for each and every person out there, because you don't know when you're driving down that highway, if that coming at you on the other lane is some Gulf War veteran, Gulf War I or Gulf War II, who hasn't been able to sleep for weeks and who is not really, really good at what he is doing or able to be rational at what he is doing. I fear for when you go into a driving situation and they get road rage and all of a sudden, you know, you are being impacted by somebody who's not thinking clearly. Or the used car salesman who did nothing wrong whatsoever.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Okay, Joyce, go right ahead. Joyce is just saying that, you know, when we have so many young men who come back from the first Gulf War, the second Gulf War, who have emotional problems, and some of them pretty cannot control their rage. When they're out there in society, can this impact on you if you run across one of them? It's not these young men's fault. They've been experimented on, and they really did experiment on the boys in the first Gulf War. That was the cause of the Gulf War illness. We have the reports from the Veterans Administration. According to the Veterans Administration, anybody who wants to check the figures will be glad to send them to you. Over 80,000 of the 695,000 troops that went over there, that's over 10%. Young, healthy men, 15 years ago, they're dead today. It couldn't happen. Just couldn't happen statistically. But, at least according to the Veterans Administration, it did. And they're keeping careful track of this social experiment. They just love to experiment on our boys. And if you haven't read the book, certainly the Vaccine A, and then, of course, if you haven't seen Joyce's video. But before we go on, Joyce, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry, how they can get in touch with your material.
I hope that everybody will show Beyond Treason to somebody who's getting ready to join the military. You know, and I say to them, just show it to them. And if they still choose to join the military, at least they have knowledge now of what goes on. Because no one has been able to look at Beyond Treason, which is a documentary that comes with the information itself on a CD-ROM. So you get the DVD and the CD-ROM with thousands of pages of documents that right there explain everything we're talking about. If they choose to join the military and they're a diehard Marine, then so be it. That is their choice. I'm not trying to keep people from joining the military. I'm trying to educate them before they join. So they won't do what we did in the first Gulf War and take 10 vaccines in one day that we weren't allowed to know what they were. So you can go online to beyondtreason.com and order the documentary. If you're a vet and if you would like a copy of it, we will send it to you at no charge. And we will even pay for the shipping. All you have to do is email us or fax us, and I'll give a fax number. Just fax a request for it with some type of proof of service so that we don't have, 50,000 freeloaders that want the video that don't deserve it, but the veterans that do deserve it. If you fax us at 5998. Okay, let me give it again. Dave just helped me out here. Thank goodness for him. 573-378-5998. If you will fax us, then we will get you a copy of Beyond Treason. And it's so important. And if you're a vet, and if you can give out 10 or 20, and I know the last time I was on the program, you had some vets contacted me that wanted to be able to give away 10 or 20 of them at their American Legion or VFW meetings. And we sent them, 10 or 20 of them, and they gave them away. And that's what we want to do. That's the purpose of this, is because I can't deal with every vet out there. But the documentary can. And people can begin to understand that this is real, this is killing our people, and it is a problem that is going to get only worse, if we don't immediately somehow address this. Now, of course, Congress has been given the job of investigating Gulf War illness. The way this is handled through either the Veterans Administration, of course, they are tasked by Congress, or excuse me, by the Department of Defense to take care of veterans and take care of their issues. So the Veterans Administration then says, gee, we have a problem maybe with these first Gulf War troops. So we'll do some studies. They do those studies through an organization that is basically does the bidding for the U.S. government, gives them the answer that the DOD wants, which is, gee, we don't see any problem here, pays them millions of dollars to do studies, as they did some 700 studies on Gulf War veterans with millions of dollars of research money that went in the pockets of people that would give them the answer they wanted. I know that because I testified before the Gulf War Veterans Investigating Committee, and my testimony was excluded totally from the transcript. Was excluded. So we know that they only want to hear what they want to hear, and they want people to believe. So in the case of the first Gulf War, they hired basically the Institute of Medicine to look at all the studies and evaluate whether or not there really was a Gulf War illness. What does the IOM say? What, 14 years later, they just came out with their recommendation this in 2006. Gee, we don't see a problem, but more research is needed. More money to go in more pockets of people that are going to do exactly what they want them to do. Now, in the case of depleted uranium, they saw this problem coming on quicker, and they decided to go ahead and have their blanket approval organization give them their clearance early on, so the DOD had the RAND Corporation do the bidding for them. They evaluated all of the evidence, exclusive of people like Dr. Doug Rocky and people that know radiation medicine militarily. They then came back, and the RAND Corporation said, we see no problem with depleted uranium. However, more research might be needed. So this is a tactic they do after every single war. Now, in the Beyond Treason documentary, you're going to see more types of experiments that have been done on their military. We talk about the drug BZ. We talk about which is a hallucinogenic drug given to the people in Vietnam. Not all of them, but many troops in Vietnam. And, of course, they committed the friendly fire. They killed their own troops because they were under the effects of a hallucinogenic drug that lasted for weeks, not days. We talk about the atomic veterans, which is such a sad case. Most of them have now died that were affected by the radiation and left families and children that were deformed as a result of that. But then we go on from experiment to experiment and literally wipe the slate clean and move on, or at least the DOD does. They keep the VA functioning for a very good reason. You can't have all these veterans going to doctors because doctors would be seeing, and I'm talking about civilian physicians, would be seeing, wait a minute, why is it every Gulf War veteran has neurological problems, can't sleep, has headaches, and throws up every day? They might start to see a trend. So what do? They keep them in the VA system. Now, this has been going on for years. You don't have a system where they can go to a TRICARE or they can go to an HMO. They don't want these veterans going to an HMO. They don't want them going to private doctors. They want them going to VAs where they can follow the experiments and follow the troops. So you don't have this information going to the mainstream physician. When you do, you have physicians calling me, like one day on Thanksgiving Day about 4 years ago, I got a call from a doctor at Johns Hopkins, and he explained that he had a patient that was in excruciating pain in his spinal cord. And I said, let me explain to you, before you go any further, I said, let me tell you what you're seeing in that patient. And he said to me, he was a neurologist, and he said, you have no way of knowing what my patient is experiencing. And I said, let me tell you. I experienced him down to the exact almost time that it was occurring to him. And he was astounded. He couldn't even talk. He said, I don't believe this. He said, I have never seen a case like this. And I said, sir, that's exactly what I had. I know what it is. I've been there. I've done it. And I've talked to a lot of people that have had this. And yes, it was the mycoplasma settling in the spine, and it was a horrendous, and I don't even want to talk about it because, see, if I talk about it with other people and they can say, well, she tells about it on the air. No, I'm just saying that I had it in the spine, and I know exactly what it's like, and I happened to be in the hospital at the time, so it's documented. But you see, the world wants us to think that the DOD just can't figure it out. I got a call one day from Navy Captain Chalker Brown. He was the representative from the DOD that called me to tell me to quit giving out the documentary called Gulf War Illness Factor Fiction. Now, we still have copies of that, and we're now putting it out in DVD because it is the same. It was put out in 1996, and it explains everything we're seeing today. And I want people to know that nothing that we talked about in 96 has changed. That we knew then. So if this nurse from, if this nurse of 35 years can figure it out, the Department of Defense can figure it out. And Chalker Brown said to me, we want you to stop giving away that documentary to veterans. Because a lot of people had gone to, especially Lackland Air Force Base, and given it to their physicians down there and said, here's what this nurse said. And I got calls from some of these physicians. They were irate at me at trying to play doctor and tell these troops what was wrong with them. And they were very angry with me, and they said, I'm sick and tired. He said, I've got a whole bunch of your videos here that they come in here and they expect me to watch your video. He said, I've seen it. He said, you're wrong. The military is doing everything they can. Well, Chalker Brown said to me, we want you to stop giving this documentary out to veterans. I said, well, if you can tell me what is inaccurate in it, I will be glad to change it. He said, it's not that. You're one of us. And I said, no, sir. If you think I am one of you and I'm going to participate in the wholesale slaughter of our military by failing to treat them, I said, you are absolutely wrong. As a result of that, he said, well, we need you to stop giving it out. And I said, no. I said, as long as there is a veteran who needs to know what is wrong with him, I'm going to provide this. I gave them out, 40,000 of them, at my own expense. And I will tell you that I am so glad that I did, because there are people that it saved them from suicide simply because they had an answer. They weren't a bad Marine. They weren't just feigning their illness. It was real. They found out what the problem was. And at least it kept them from committing suicide. And no, I can't. I've got letters from probably over, I don't know how many thousand letters we have now, of pictures of the people, of their stories, and they're all the same. Whenever the media comes here and used to want to do stories on Gulf War illness, I would pull out these group of letters, and I would say, here's the story right here. These men and women are the story, not me. I am simply standing on Superman's cape at the Pentagon and saying, how dare you do this to these troops? And you know, Dr. Stan, I never knew we were going to be facing this again with Gulf War II. I mean, I cannot tell you how I felt when I saw this war beginning and knew about the increased use of depleted uranium. And I could see it all happening. And I went on coast to coast and talked with George Norrie about this. And nobody believed me. And I got hate letters from everybody saying, how dare you be negative before a war? The least you can do is support the troops. Why don't you go live with Jane Fonda? Why don't you, you know, all these things. And I was saying, no, I just want you to know what's about to happen. I know what the Department of Defense has done to a minute degree. That's all I have access to. But as you know, in the Rockefeller report that you put out, Dr. Stan, that you can provide the people there, Senate Report 103-97, which absolutely changed my life when I saw that, states, during the past 50 years, hundreds of thousands of our military have been exposed, have been experimented upon without their knowledge or consent. I repeat, hundreds of thousands of our military have been experimented upon without their knowledge or consent. Now, the one guy that I remember reading about was prior to the Gulf War. He was given a hallucinogenic drug. He went home, and during the night he woke up. His wife was not told what he was given because he didn't even know what he was given. He was told that he was supposed to be testing a uniform inside of a tank. He went inside of this to test the heat on a uniform, and he almost killed his wife that night. And he loved her dearly. She divorced him, left him, and he never knew till about 40 years later when he got in the mail a letter to all of those people who had received the psychedelic drug. That was the only time he knew that he had been experimented upon and why his life had developed into an absolute disaster. So we owe to the people that decide to serve for the right reasons. You know, I served, you served, we served for the right reasons, we believed in what we were doing at the time. Well, these guys going to Iraq, they believe in what they're doing also. And people say to me now, well, you can't go and support them, you can't help them out now because they are making a decision to go kill people. I said, look, I made a decision, and I said at one time, if there was anything in my life I wanted to do, I wanted to be in the Air Force. That was it. If I couldn't be in the Air Force, nothing. I wanted to be in the Air Force. I wanted to be a flight nurse. One of the biggest days that I will ever remember is the day they pinned those wings on my uniform. And I got to take my first live mission flight with real patients. As I felt like I was doing something. And I think everybody listening to this program that has been in the military knows that feeling. If they weren't drafted and they joined, they knew that feeling of patriotism, of support of this country, of caring for the wounded, or whatever it was. But you know, now we're finding out the military is different. And all I'm trying to do is say, save these lives before they go in. It's not just the ones that are getting their limbs blown off. And yeah, that is horrendous. We've probably had, if the truth were known, 20 to 30,000 deaths coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And probably close to 50 or 100,000 that have been injured. And then if you put on top of that the post-traumatic stress disorder, or the depression, or the mental problems, the neurological problems, I'm sure that it's around 200,000, 300,000 now. Because they're not telling you the truth that we've sent a million troops over there to fight this war. And my heart goes out to those people that are joining. You know, these kids that are 17, 18 years old right now, were what, 11 years old in the first Gulf War? They didn't know. Just like I didn't know about Vietnam. I thought the guys that came back from Vietnam and that complained, I thought that they just, you know, had a foot fungus and wanted to be taken care of for a lifetime. I didn't know they were sick. I didn't know they were dying. They were going to give birth to children with deformities. We didn't know. But now we do. And we need to call these people on what they have done. Dr. Winkenwerder of the Department of Defense, who is so much involved in the cover-up of Gulf War illness. Some of the people there at the Department of Defense that they need to spend the rest of their natural lives in prison for what they have done. That is my opinion, and I stand by it. They need to be in prison. These troops, their lives are now worse than being in a prison. And the problem is, Dr. Stan, is they're going to linger. They're not going to get any better. They're going to get worse, but they're going to linger. They don't want to be a burden to their families. So what do we have? We have the highest rate of suicide ever in the military. And I can only say that during this season, you see a homeless guy. Ask him if he's a vet. And then give him some money. And it just breaks my heart. It's getting to be so sad to get these phone calls every day, and I dread Christmas because the suicide phone calls come in. And we've got to be there.
Yes, we do, and I appreciate everything you do and that Dave does as well. We're going to be back in just a minute to wrap up today's program. Ladies and gentlemen, if you doubt that 80,000 of the boys we sent in the first Gulf War are dead, why, we'll be glad to send you the Veterans Administration statistics. We have it from the Veterans Administration, but you're never going to hear it from Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Brian Williams or the other people who've sold their souls for a great paycheck from the establishment that's sending our boys overseas to be crippled and to die. Well, Joyce, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
You know, Dr. Stan, I don't apologize for the tears because they're tears for them. I don't apologize for the feeling that I have because I know that what they're feeling is so incredibly horrendous. I can't even conceive of that. I know the pain that is going on right now as we speak. You know, we have a lady named Jeannie Dykus who has been making lap blankets for them and has been quilting quilts for these vets. And she said, I can't go save the world, but I can make a quilt for a vet. There are a lot of things that people can do. Go to your local service center. If you have a local nursing home for vets, just go in and do something nice for them because people just don't go in these places. Go to a veteran's home. You know, I don't even know if they'll allow people in vets' homes lately. I haven't been in them. But I do want to do that, and I do want to go and share some of these blankets and quilts with them. But you know, we've got to get over the idea of it just can't happen in America, because it can. Our Department of Defense is cruel beyond belief in what they have done. And, you know, I am pleased when a vet will call me and say, thank you for being there. You know, thank you for doing Beyond Treason, because, you know, without you, no one has ever cared. You know, we give away Miracle 2 soap at no charge. Now, that's one thing that we can do. It's not much, but, you know, a gallon is $67.50. That's a lot of money. But we have not denied one vet Miracle 2 soap, and we give out usually between about $3,000 a month worth of soap to these vets at no charge. And it helps them because of all the problems that they have. It has helped them tremendously. And, you know, this is not being a pitch for selling it. It's a pitch for giving it away to them. But that's one thing that we can do. And they say over and over and write the most wonderful letters, thank you for being there, because nobody has cared since I got out of the military. Or nobody cared when they were in the military, really. So I just say thank you to you, sir, for giving me the opportunity to say this and to explain to the listeners what's happening to their sons and daughters. And don't let it happen to any more than are necessary. Let me give the fax number again. If you want to get a copy of Beyond Treason with all the documentation, thousands of pages, then you can order it by calling 877 Or do you have it there, Dr. Stan?
We actually do carry it, but do you go ahead and give your
number?
No, go
ahead. You call Dr. Stan and get Beyond Treason. If you're a vet and you want it for free, then fax us at 573-378-5998. 573-378-5998. And Dave and I are going to continue to do this as long as we can, but I'll tell you, it is very emotionally draining, and I hate to feel and say that, Dr. Stan, because, you know, my problem is the least of problems.
Hold that just for a moment here. Well, our guest has been Joyce Riley. God bless you, Jason. And thank you for everything you do, and we'll be talking to you early in the morning.
You bet. Thank you so much, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
All right, fine. Well, it was Joyce Riley, and of course, I'm going to be on Joyce's program early tomorrow morning. I've got to be up at 5 o'clock so I can be on her 6 o'clock program here on the West Coast. But you have to understand that they're destroying the lives of our children. If you don't believe that they experiment on them, we have a government report called the Rockefeller Committee Report, and it's available through Radio Liberty. Actually, it was put out by the Veterans Administration in 1994 about all the wonderful experiments and all the lives that they destroyed. The Rockefeller Committee Report, official government publication, I tried to get the woman who did this report for the Veterans Administration to come on my program. She was quite afraid to do it for fear of retaliation. Then, of course, if you don't believe that they're creating horrible new diseases, we have the complete text of Dr. MacArthur's testimony before the House Appropriations Committee in 1969, where he asked for $10 million to create a new disease for which there's no immune response, and it can be used as another means of mass killing. We have the complete text of the National Security Study Memorandum that came out in 1974 over Henry Kissinger's testimony that was marked top secret for many years, telling the major thrust of our foreign and domestic policy is population control. We certainly have a four-tape set on the Gulf War illness. We have Against All Enemies, a book written by Seymour Hersh, inexpensive little book written by a very well-known author. Against All Enemies, the story of the Gulf War illness. We have, of course, Joyce's video, and we recommend it's a DVD, actually, Against All, Beyond Treason, and what it basically does is you not only will see a dramatic DVD, but you'll get a CD with it that you can put on your computer, and it has all of the government documents that they do not want you or our veterans to know, or certainly our politicians to know. They're intentionally poisoning our boys. Why would you do that? Do you know a better way than to destroy a great nation, than to destroy a generation of our youth? If you'd like to see those pages from the Veterans Administration about the fact that 80,000 of our boys are already dead from the first Gulf War, we only lost 100 in battle, but we poisoned the rest of them with our vaccines and all the other experiments they did. Over 80,000 of those previously young, healthy men 15 years ago are dead today. And you will never, of course, hear this mentioned. We have a great book. It's called Vaccine A. It's a story of the experimental work that they did with, you know, the experimental vaccines. They gave them, and of course, they lied about it. And they're still lying about it. You'll have a four-tape set and or the book. A recent study has just came out within the last 2 weeks where they actually took the squalene and aluminum, which was in the vaccines, and gave it to mice. And, of course, they saw the extensive neurological changes there. But you're not going to read about that in your local newspaper. We have a four-tape set on depleted uranium. We have a four-tape set on the Gulf War illness. You need to get this information. All of this is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Do you really care? Do you really care about those boys we're sending overseas? Oh, they said you've got to support the troops. You support the troops by getting the truth out about what happened on 9-1-1. And if you want to know what happened on 9-1-1, we've got some great DVDs. 9-1-1 Mysteries. 9-1-1 Press for the Truth. The story of the four wives who lost their husbands when the Twin Towers came down. Do you know that 1,100... bodies have never been recovered, not even any part of them at all. If they were crushed when the buildings come down, they would have still been there. Were they simply vaporized when the buildings exploded? Nobody wants to ask what happened to those 1,100 bodies there in the Twin Towers. The DVDs again, 9-1-1 Press for the Truth, 9-1-1 Mysteries, Beyond Treason, which is Alex Jones' excellent presentation. In Plain Sight by Joyce's husband. And then, of course, the Day That Changed America Forever. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News on the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. The White House has quietly dropped its insistence that the United States is winning the war in Iraq. Correspondent Mark Smith brings us this report from the White House.
We're winning and we will win, unless we leave before the job is done.
But now, with even his new Defense Secretary Robert Gates saying America's not winning, the White House has decided to stop answering such questions. Press Secretary Tony Snow says he's no longer playing the game.
It all ends up trying to summarize a complex situation with a single word.
Mark Smith at the White House.
China has been allowing the adoption of children by older, single, even overweight foreigners, but that may be about to change. U.S. adoption agencies say Beijing is tightening adoption rules and required that foreign applicants be married between the ages of 30 and 50 and with a body mass index of 40 or under. The move comes amid a surge in foreigners seeking to adopt